Welcome to American Dissident Voices. I'm Kevin Alfred Strom. Something special is happening right now, high in the mountains that Dr. William Pierce loved. For the first time in many, many months, years really, people are gathered in the life rune crowned building where I worked for so long. Neglected infrastructure is being repaired. An inventory is being made. The power is on again, first in the main building, then in others. Living quarters are being made fit for habitation again. And sitting around a table, as I and Dr. Pierce and Will Williams and others did so many hundreds of times, a group of Alliance comrades has gathered, and envelopes are being addressed and filled with a brand new edition of the National Alliance Bulletin, the internal newsletter of our organization, and members will be getting them in the mail soon. Last month, we revamped and modernized our main website, natall.com, and ever since then, letters and inquiries have been ramping up. Let me share a few of those with you today. Norman Lowell of Malta, friend of William Pierce and leader of Imperium Europa, writes, quote, "I wish you well, always," close quote. Rex O. writes, quote, "Outstanding website, beautifully done. Congratulations to all concerned," close quote. William M. writes, quote, "Kevin, I just found your radio shows last week, after 11 months. I thought you'd simply retreated into enjoying beauty from now on after what you went through. Also, I didn't know about the National Vanguard site. Sorry for being so oblivious. Listening to your shows starting from last winter, am up to June now. Excellent. Thank you very much." Close quote. Luke I. writes, quote, "I am a passionate National Socialist residing in the Commonwealth nation of New Zealand. I would like to volunteer my services to this organization as well as to inquire about joining. I would be able to distribute flyers and leaflets here in my local area where a large number of citizens are becoming gradually dissatisfied with the political situation, in particular the issue of mass immigration and Islamification of our culture." Close quote. Luke, thank you for your offer of help. You can join the National Alliance via the Join Us link at natall.com. That's natall.com. We'll keep all members apprised of our needs and our progress through our monthly bulletin. Roger H. writes, quote, "Like you, I have a strong sense of white ethnic identity, which I want to preserve and cultivate. However, I think that if we are to be successful in this endeavor, it is imperative that we pursue it in friendly cooperation with other races and those of mixed race. For too long, we have allowed the state to deceitfully pose as our nation. Peacefully, legally, and respectfully, we need to start organizing ourselves into genuine tribes and nations of our own free choice within the framework of existing states, instead of leaving it to the state and capital to do for us. But as I say, it has to be in friendly cooperation with the other races. We can't achieve it on our own." Close quote. Roger, I appreciate your letter. I am the author of what I call the Maxim of Self-Determination, which states that every people which considers itself to be a people should, to the maximum extent possible, live under its own government. While I do believe that a modus vivendi can be and ought to be achieved with other nations and races, possibly on the basis of the Maxim, and while I don't believe in harming or antagonizing anyone unnecessarily, I also don't believe that we can expect their help, especially at this stage in our struggle. Yes, the more aware members of every race and nation are coming to an understanding of the Jewish question more and more with each passing year. That's a very encouraging trend. But they, in accord with the eternal laws of life, must put the interests of their people first. And so must we put the interests of our people first. The other races living in their homelands may have an interest in whites throwing off the yoke of the Jewish power structure, true. But those who have been imported into or who are invading our homelands have interests diametrically opposed to ours in almost every way, and we can expect nothing good from them. And until we whites gain racial self-respect in significant numbers, we're only going to receive their well-deserved contempt. As for your statement that for too long we have allowed the state to deceitfully pose as our nation, you have a good point. The regime in Washington is no longer the legitimate government of our nation. We have become, like the Kurds, a people, a nation, without a state, without its own government. And a people without its own government is poised for extinction. Nicodemus from Portugal writes, quote, "I'm an identitarian racialist computer scientist from Portugal. Your organization, the National Alliance, is the one I identify the most with in the whole world. Unlike most European forms of nationalism, which are mostly ethnic, the NA is purely racial nationalist and supports the political unification of all European peoples of the world. I find this idea very attractive, not only from a romantic point of view, but also because I think it is absolutely necessary in the world of the future, that of great civilizational blocks. Here in Europe, only some identitarian organizations support this, and even those often restrict themselves to the unification of the European continent only. I have interest in the Western form of spiritual evolution, and because of that, I plan to live permanently in the USA several years from now. I hope at that time to participate in your organization and help you create a powerful political and metapolitical force capable of taking advantage of the coming economic collapse. I just want to ask you a few questions to confirm some issues that are important to me. Do you still support the political unification of all European peoples of the world like the original National Alliance? Do you consider all European natives as part of the European race?" Close quote. Nicodemus, you raise some important questions. To take your last question first, yes, we do. As William Pierce put it once when discussing qualifications for membership in the National Alliance, race counts, not nationality. Has every branch of the white race, from Malta to Bergen, from Porto to Vladivostok and beyond, taken part in its struggles, its evolution, its culture, and its greatness? Yes. Does every European and European-derived nation have some individuals and bloodlines of low quality and stand in need of a thoroughgoing upbreeding and eugenics program? Yes. Does every European and European-derived nation also have within its ranks men and women of high racial quality, creativity, genius, and the will and capacity to live as noble white men and women in a racially progressive society of the future and fight for the right to so live? Yes, absolutely. The white race of the future will be molded by a new kind of evolution, molded in the struggle against those who are trying to exterminate us. those with the will and ability to survive in these darkening times and live proudly as white men and women, those who will succeed at community and organization building, and then at nation and civilization building, these will form the white race of the future. I predict that these select progenitors of tomorrow's white race will not be drawn from one nation or region or subrace alone. They will be drawn from those who hear our message, find that it resonates in their race soul, and then do what has to be done. The thing that concerns me most at this moment is making sure that all these men and women do hear our message, do come to a new understanding of their place in the universe, and do make our cause the most important thing in their scale of values. Think of the motto which Dr. Pierce chose for the National Vanguard logotype: Toward a New Consciousness, a New Order, a New People. If we succeed, we will become that new people. As for the political unification of all peoples of European descent, that is implicit, though not explicit, in the National Alliance Membership Handbook, which everyone who joins the Alliance will receive as a member. Ultimately, we need a racial outlook and unbreakable unity that only a confederation of white societies can provide. But although we at the National Alliance think big, no one thinks bigger than we do, we also don't like to make grandiose statements or act like we have powers that we don't yet have. The people of quality who we'd like to attract are intelligent, discerning people, realistic people, people who respect seriousness in others and demand seriousness from us. So I'm not announcing a plan for the National Alliance to form a pan-European state or publishing a map showing where the superstate's borders will be. We concentrate now on recruiting the cadres that can make our organization grow and make it stronger with each passing year. We don't know what the future will bring, even though we're determined to impose our will upon it as much as circumstances and our abilities allow. This is going to be a long struggle. We need to ensure that we'll be around and growing as the generations pass. We need to be self-sustaining and survive. We need to build a community locally, then on a national and continental scale. It's not yet time to predict how the struggle will unfold, which nations and regions will emerge on the side of our people's survival and which will be opposed, what white communities will have formed within those regions and the compatibility of their ideologies. But should whites worldwide ideally be united in a new and unshakable belief system that teaches that our survival and advancement are the essence and definition of morality and the very reason for our lives on Earth? Should we be associated for the defense of our racial homelands in a union so strong that no one dare threaten us? Yes. Absolutely. Yes. D. Williams writes, quote, "You're at the height of your powers. Keep blasting," close quote. Sam Yu writes a thoughtful letter, quote, "You have offered new hope for us all. I am a retired scientist, PhD, chemistry, and I married late in life. I have two young adult boys, twins, and I saw no future for them or their descendants. Just a dark, meaningless, directionless, chaotic world full of the worst creatures that human biology could spew out. Things in Australia are bad and they are getting worse. Multiculturalism, diversity, and race mixing are destroying our continent and no one seems to care. Academics do not care. Teachers do not care. Politicians do not care. Church leaders do not care. And sadly, many of our people, white people, do not care. For over a year, I was putting together on my computer all the broadcasts that Dr. Pierce ever gave, along with transcripts of the broadcasts. I also have copies of some of Dr. Revelo Oliver's work, as much as I could find available for download on the internet. My children and I have listened to them all, and we have discussed the significance of the broadcasts as far as white people are concerned. I am happy to say that as individuals and as a family, we are very race aware. We are equally Jew aware, too. I have had no personal experience with Congoids in Australia, but I have had plenty of exposure to Australian Aboriginals, Australoids, in our major cities and in their natural habitat, the Australian bush. I started my scientific career many years ago as a forensic chemist with the Australian government, but became disillusioned with government, and when the opportunity arose, I left. After a short break of about a year, I started working for the mining industry in Western Australia, managing gold assay laboratories. My first assignment was managing a gold assay laboratory in the town of Wiluna. My time in Wiluna gave me an opportunity to see Australian Aboriginals, Australoids, in their natural habitat. And what I saw would read like Hesketh Pritchard's book, Where Black Rules White. But in my case, a more appropriate title would be Where Black Fools White, A Journey in and About Central Western Australia. When I first started working in Wiluna, I would often hear my workers speak of a nearby Kmart. This puzzled me. To my knowledge, the closest Kmart was in the town of Kalgoorlie, some 600 kilometers to the south of Wiluna, certainly not nearby by any definition of distance. So where was this local Kmart? My curiosity had been aroused, and I had to see it, but I needed to know why it was called Kmart. One of my workers told me, "You know, if you need something to build with, you go to Kmart to get it." The Kmart in question was a town built exclusively for Aboriginals by the West Australian government, some 60 kilometers south of Wiluna. It was nicknamed Kmart because if anyone in the area needed hardware such as wood, window glass, or plumbing, they would go to Kmart to get it. Kmart was a town consisting of professionally built three-bedroom houses, a small shopping center, recreational center, bituminized roads, concrete footpaths, electricity, phone lines, and sewerage. In short, a self-made town just waiting for occupants. However, the targeted occupants did not want it. When the Aboriginal elders saw the town, they claimed it had bad spirits. I do not know how much the government spent on this exercise in stupidity, but based on 1997 housing prices, the whole town would have cost the taxpayer of Western Australia at least 30 million Australian dollars. I did make a few inquiries back in 1999 when I was in the capital of Western Australia, Perth, but no one in government knew what I was talking about. I said, you know, the town built for Aboriginals between Wiluna and Leonora. The usual response was, "What town?" By late 2000, the town had been sold and completely dismantled. There are no signs that a town ever existed at the site. I always maintain that the Aboriginals rejected Kmart, not because of the presence of bad spirits, but rather the absence of spirits. The government forgot to build a pub or bar, and Wiluna was too far away to walk to the pub every day. Many white people blame the consumption of alcohol and the general drunkenness of Australian Aboriginals on whites. The usual accusation is that the white man introduced the black man to grog, grog being the local slang for booze. But when you have lived in towns like Wiluna with a large Australoid population, as I have done, You know the real answer. It is in their nature. They are impulsive and live for the moment. Grog gives them that immediate high, and they never reflect on the consequences of their alcohol consumption on themselves, on their family, or on their community. Consequence is a word as alien to them as the word truth is alien to the Jew. I am so happy that the Alliance has risen from the ashes, much like the proverbial phoenix. Again, I really enjoyed your broadcast. Kind regards. Close quote. As I told you at the beginning of today's broadcast, the lights are being turned on again on Dr. Pierce's mountain. Looking down upon the earth, the lights winking on down there must look like new stars, a new, growing constellation. With will and determination, and with your absolutely necessary help, let us make that new constellation into a supernova that will sweep away the old, the rotten, and the false, and establish a whole new order upon this earth. You've been listening to American Dissident Voices, the radio program of the National Alliance, founded by William Luther Pierce in 1970. This program is published every week at whitebiocentrism.com and nationalvanguard.org. You can join and support us by visiting natall.com, that's natall.com, or write to National Alliance, Box 172, Laurel Bloomery, Tennessee, 37680, USA. We welcome your support, your inquiries, and your help in spreading our message of hope to our people. Once again, that address is Box 172, Laurel Bloomery, Tennessee, 37680, USA. Until next week, this is Kevin Alfred Strom reminding you to keep on thinking free.
For blood and for soil, we will work, we will toil. Heaven is born on the earth. The heroes arise as we shout to the skies. We will now have our rebirth.